2 Kings 17, in the 12th year of Ahaz, king of Judah, Hoshea the son of Elah became king of Israel in Samaria, and he reigned 9 years. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, but not as the kings of Israel who were before him. Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, came up against him, and Hoshea became his vassal and paid him tribute money. And the king of Assyria uncovered a conspiracy by Hoshea, for he sent messengers to So, king of Egypt, and brought no tribute to the king of Assyria, as he had done year by year. Therefore the king of Assyria shut him up and bound him in prison. Now the king of Assyria went throughout all the land, and he went to Samaria and besieged it 3 years. And in the 9th year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria took Samaria and carried Israel away to Syria and placed them in Halah and the Habor river of Gozan in the city of the Medes. So it was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, who had brought them up out of the land of Egypt from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and they had feared other gods. Look at that historical remark there. Huh? God had redeemed them from the Egyptians. They should be thanking him for the wonderful redemption. Now it's going to be reversed. They're going to go into captivity and into slavery once again, never to return to their homeland. Verse 18, therefore the Lord was very angry with Israel and removed them from his sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah alone. Verse 22, the children of Israel walked in all the sins of Jeroboam, which he did. They did not depart from them until the Lord removed Israel out of his sight, as he had said by his servants the prophets. So Israel was carried away from their own land to Assyria, as it is to this day. What a terrible event. And then we have, indicated in our notes, then we have a list that is given of all the sins that they committed. But during this time, and prior to this time, God raised up 2 faithful prophets who wrote out their message. And that is, if you see in point C, the prophets Amos and Hosea. I've called them the countdown prophets. The countdown prophets to the Assyrian captivity and God's final message. So here they are on our chart. So we've got a little closer. We're visiting them, of course. And we're talking about these prophets now. And God is raising them up. And these final kings, final word. And behind all of this, you will find Assyria mentioned, and that is the inevitable date, 722 BC, for the captivity. Now let's just have a brief visit to Amos. Amos's book, please. It says here, regarding his general message, on page 16 now, and I'm reading under Amos, his general message. The other material is for your own profit. Amos is the prophet of social justice. And in the midst of all of this, we find that it's a wonderful prophecy, even though he is ministering to the northern kingdom. He also gives a remarkable prophecy regarding David's dynasty is going to be restored in his last chapter. Let's go down to Amos's general message. Amos' general message, the prophet of international and social injustices. Woe upon the sinful kingdoms surrounding Israel. They are accountable to Almighty God. Woe to the sinful nation of Israel. Covenantal judgments are ready to fall. That is, the judgments recorded in Deuteronomy 28, 29 and 30, the land covenant. You see, you read the book of Deuteronomy to find out all that's going to happen in the rest of the Old Testament. It's just the rest of the Old Testament is a working out of what's there in Deuteronomy, both its history and the type of prophecies that will be given. Moses set it out before them. And Moses' heart's cry was, oh, if everyone in Israel would be a prophet. Remember those words? Oh, if everyone had a direct connection with God. He knew that they would turn away from the Lord. So the middle of the first paragraph, the sinful nation, sinful kingdom will be destroyed unless it repents. The northern kingdom, first Judah, then the southern kingdom, next. One day a miraculous restoration will come under the Messiah. It's not all doom and gloom. It's not all judgment. It's blessing also prophesied in Amos. King David's dynasty will be restored forever. Of course, at the moment, King David's dynasty is still in existence, you see. And the prophets continually reminded these people down here, you're going the way of your sister up here. If you do not turn to the Lord yourself, you also will experience this. God knew that. And he said, it's going to be restored. David's dynasty is going to be restored, with the implication that the southern kingdom is also going to be destroyed. And it was. It was interrupted by the times of the Gentiles, as we'll see in just a moment. So we keep reading. David's dynasty will be restored forever. Kingdom's blessings will abound for all mankind. One important lesson we learn from Amos is that all men are accountable to God as individuals, families, nations, and as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. All injustices will come before him, the righteous judge. And Amos's key verse has become into English literature. To be or not to be. Who wrote that? Shakespeare, yes. Amos said, oh, let righteousness run down like a mighty torrent. Oh, let justice fall down like a waterfall. That's in English literature. That is Amos 5:13-15, a key verse about justice and righteousness. So Amos is about justice and righteousness for the nations of the world and for the nation of Israel. And we say in teaching the book of Amos, God does not pay at the end of every day, but he pays. God does not pay at the end of every day, but he pays. He's entitled to pay at the end of every day, you know, to everybody, you and me, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's entitled to do that. But he's gracious and withholds his judgment, that he will pay. This is why we read in Romans chapter 1 that the iniquity that's being done in the world and the iniquity of the ungodly is accumulating until the final day of accountability comes. You know, it actually says in the scriptures that judgment begins at the house of God. Sometimes the Lord does judge his people in different ways. That's Hosea.